Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we've opened thy word, we're going to, and looking to you to help us, your day, your time, your place. So God, help us understand more and more so that we have the benefit, we are able to profit by it all. And you are going to be pleased, our Father, by it. Spirit of God, help us in all of it. And our Lord, we're going to thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our thinking this morning, we looked at great expectations. And we are reminded that Israel, the world didn't have any. But Israel was given the privilege of being a very great nation, special. But they just couldn't grab it. They couldn't come to grips with the fact that it could really be real. And therefore, they just never experienced it as a great nation. They're going to, coming up in the kingdom. And the church is given such an awesome, more so than Israel. But the general mood, tenor, movement, that's never been true. We tried to recover some things in the Reformation, etc. And apart from a remnant of believers hither and yon, it just didn't happen. Just hasn't happened. It's the way it is. Now, hang on, we'll try to do a little better and help you with it. Now, we share together that we learn to rightly fear God. We don't have fear, we learn it. How do we learn fear? As by the exercise of faith. When you exercise believing God's word and looking to God, that's when you learn to fear him, because you're learning about him. If you don't learn about him, then you certainly aren't going to fear him very much. So you have to learn. You have to grow. And we have looked at the fear, because that's fears, all kinds of fears. In our day, especially, we're trying to come out of them so we don't catch them, catch the mood, the movement. So here we are looking to God, and we need to have faith. The word faith comes from the verb to be persuaded, to be persuaded by words, to be relying upon, to be fully confident in, fully confident about, so that we're looking to God in the light of who he is and what he has said and what he has done, so that we're very, very convinced. What's faith? Faith is reaching out and being persuaded about something. Hang on, and we'll try to get that. Now, having said that little bit, and you know, if you go back in your mind, back to the days of before there was aeroplanes, and the Wright brothers, etc., and all those things, and they sought to fly. There's trains, there's boats, but to fly. So now we're going to look at the flights. And if you were back then, there was a great unconcerned and not believing. And therefore, you have to say we're going to fly, and people, nah. And other people say we're going to fly, and they're going to do that. And lo and behold, here we are today. Now I'm going to go back and I'm come forward to where we are. In the light of that, we are able to go and defy the law of gravity. The law of gravity isn't going anywhere. It's always there. How are we going to overcome the law of gravity? By the law of aerodynamics. And so therefore, most of us in some form or fashion have seen planes, flew in planes, etc. And you know, when you get in a plane, are you wondering whether, are you going to be surprised if it leaves the ground? Are you going to be shocked, amazed? Why not? Yesterday you would have been. Why aren't you amazed today? Because it's normal to you. And in fact, if the plane doesn't leave the ground, you're concerned. Going 180 miles down the highway there, and zip down the road, and you know, you end up in Boston on the road. Now in the process, that's what we do. It becomes normal to us. And it's normal. And all the things of Buck Rogers, and remember 100 years ago, Dick Tracy, and the special watch, and the guns, and the radar, and all that, laser beams. We don't think anything about that today because it's normal. We aren't even amazed. We aren't even surprised. We aren't astonished. It's normal. But it wasn't normal. It wasn't normal before that. So now, keep that in mind, if you would. So here we are, God, and you've said what you've said and done what you've done on Calvary's cross and made something wonderful happen. But it isn't normal. We aren't amazed. We are amazed. We are surprised. Wow. Let's see how it goes. Romans in chapter 5. And in Romans chapter 5, may I pick up the thought, if I can? And you would recall in verse 12, 5 and 12 Romans, wherefore as one man sin, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. So we got that. And in the process now, we're going to slide over in the light of all of that context, and slide over to verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, where sin abounded. But, verse 20, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So here we are, planet Earth. God has given and done a wonderful thing on Calvary's cross. He made something very possible. It cost the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. He died. And he made it possible. He took away. So sin. So when we look at sin, and we think about sin in our life and that kind of thing, and we think about sin, and we have mercy for our miserableness, and we have grace for our guilt. Now, so here we are going, and in our normal living, and we do things, say things, and everything, and we get up and down. We're guilty, we're not guilty, we feel bad, we're out of sync, we're out of whack, we need to get back to in right attitude to God again. And we do this. And sometime it isn't done like it should be. It takes, sometime it can be weeks or months, and we don't recover. Now, what are you saying, God, when you say where sin abounded, grace did much more abound? Now, to think about that, if you would, in the light of that, what do you know? When Christ died on the cross, he died for you. You haven't been born yet, but you're going to be born in sin and a state of death. You're dead. You're spiritually dead. You need to be alive. Christ has made it possible for us to have life. So he went and died. So here you and I, here we are, and in the light of that, I'm going to start with your age, whatever, and look how many years you've lived, and you've lived X number of days, and you've accumulated. Now, whatever the age is, whatever your years you want to put. And all of tomorrow's, however many there are, how much sin have you accumulated from your birth to your death? How much sin? Now, here you are, and we're guilty, we feel bad, we get down in the mouth and everything, and we get like that. Because of our sin, what are we to understand? God said where sin abounded, and it does. If we say we have no sin, 1 John chapter 1, we make him a liar, we deceive ourselves, etc. So we say no sin, we're looking at sin. I got to put that together. I'm getting shot down in my mind because I'm guilty of something, I feel bad about something, a said word, words, works, whatever we do, we feel bad. God said, where my sin abounded, grace did much more abound. What am I to understand? When Christ died on the cross, he died for how many of your sins and mine? From birth to death. And I'm making a big issue about this little spot in my life, about my sin. And I need to understand where sin abounded, God, how can you see it? God sees the whole thing. He went to the cross and died for you totally from start to finish. And he says, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So God, I forgot. I made this moment of time the whole thing. I forgot the past, and I'm not looking to the present. And I lost what? I lost my understanding that I'm saved by grace. Christ died on the cross for all my sin. So what am I doing? I'm letting a moment of time, I'm letting a period of time that becomes longer than it should take over in my life. And I forgot about the grace of God that went to the cross and died for me. So therefore, I need to understand what? So that I'm getting hung up. What am I hung up with? I'm looking at what God has done in total for me. I forget that, and I concentrate on a moment of time, and in the process of doing it, I lost what? My enjoyment and exercise of being saved and the grace of God. Now, who's guilty? We raise our hand. I'm guilty. I did it all by my lonesome. I need to understand, but I wasn't understanding. I wasn't believing God. Do you understand? Now, so having said that a little bit, and keeping that mind, so here we're looking. We need to believe God. Now here's Moses. We shared Moses a little bit this morning. And Moses at the burning bush, up and down, he believed God. He didn't know God, but up and down, and God watched over him for 80 years. And God said to him in Exodus 5, Moses, Moses. And Moses paid attention, and Moses was introduced to God. And he was a wonderful thing. So now, having met God, Moses isn't the same anymore. No, because he met God. So now, when he goes to Pharaoh with his rod and all of those things and the plagues, Moses, you can't just throw your rod down and become a snake. Oh, you said, I can. Why is that? Because of God. Are you surprised, Moses, when you threw the rod down and it became a snake? No. Moses, when you held your hand up at the Red Sea, when you held it up and the Red Sea opened, were you surprised? Were you amazed? No. It's ordinary. Why aren't you amazed anymore, Moses? Up and down the mountain, up and down the mountain, into the fire, into the smoke, into everything, and disappearing from sight. Wow. Aren't you amazed at that? All the people down below can't do that. But you're doing it. It's ordinary, right? There's no more surprise. No, why not? My life has changed. What happened? I met God. And everything's different with God. Without Him, but with God, there is no astonishment. There is no amazement. There is no surprise, because God is God, and He does what He does. Now, Samson, as he goes along, now, Samson, you're going to take those big chains and ropes, and here you are tied up, and they tie you all up, you know, and keep them contained. And now, Samson, are you limited? Yeah, but, no. If God wants me to get those Philistines, all the ropes are gone, chains gone, and you're going to take a jawbone of an ass? That's crazy. You don't really believe that the jawbone of an ass is able to go against swords, spears, arrows, and shields and everything. You don't believe that, Samson, do you? He said, I do. I do. Why? Why aren't you amazed as he swung it and did whatever he did? Now, he isn't amazed. It was normal because of God. God made the difference. David, here you are. And David, God blesses David all over the place with a lion and a bear and Goliath and all of those things. And God does those things. And David, you're going to go and 2 Samuel 7 and the great Davidic covenant. And God says, David, I'm going to make you a prince, a wonderful ruler in the millennium. I'm going to make your throne and your position in the future. And David says, God, I don't deserve one drop of that. Did David say, oh, God, you can't do that. How can you know that far ahead? How can you do that? He didn't say that. And you read it in 2 Samuel 7. He said, God, I don't deserve your wonderful grace to me. Wow. Now, here's Moses, David, Samson, and here's our Lord. Here's our Lord up and down the land in his 3 1/3 years and all of that, and doing what he does. And you know what? The disciples certainly didn't understand him. And they couldn't do a thing to help him. And the world, the Jewish world and the Gentile world, they wouldn't do a thing. Now, Lord, how did you ever do it? In your perfect humanity. I trusted God the Father. Now, God, did you ever have a problem of wondering if you could heal the leper? Raise the dead? Were you saying, oh, boy, were you amazed? When you spoke and the dead rose, the dead man rose, son? No, you weren't amazed. You weren't surprised at all. Why not? It was normal. Normal. Why? Because of God. Because of God. It's normal. There is no surprise. None. What happened? Where's God? That's what the world says in Psalm 42, and all of that. Where is your God? Not your religion. You can have a religion up to your eyeballs. That's fine. We aren't talking about that. We're talking about a wonderful thing that God did when he went to the cross and died. Now, in the process of doing all these things, and God did them, and we're to go and believe and receive and trust God with all our heart. Now, having said that, relying upon God, trusting in God in his most wonderful, wonderful way. And therefore, I'm going to give it to you fast and so we can move right along. In the process, we've been studying the Gospel of John. And the Gospel of John gives us chapter 13 through 17. And the Lord tells them just what's going to be the benefits of us. Here we are on planet Earth at this time of history. Now, God, you told us what's going to be. Now, what was going to be? What is supposed to be? The Lord Jesus said, my Father is in charge. I am the source of your life. I am the vine, and you are the branches. What are you going to do? You're going to abide, just like a tree. They're going to abide. The branch and the vine are going to come together, and they're going to abide. That's normal. Isn't it? That's the norm. How many believers practice even come close to the norm? That's how you're to live. Abiding, branch, so without him you can do nothing and you abide. Wow. All kinds of things. I just wanted you to be provoked, if you would, to consider the norm. The average Christian doesn't believe the norm. No, they don't. No, they don't. They need to, but they don't. Obviously, they don't. Now, I'm going to give it to you again from the study of John and that. Whatever you said it all over again, boom, boom, boom. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll what? If you ask anything in my name, what? I'll do it. Anything in my name. For my name's sake, I'll honor myself. Do you believe that? That's your norm. That's the norm. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, morning, noon, night, work, home, school. What are we doing? We're looking to God. Abiding and talking like Moses, and looking to God. It's our norm. How much norm is it for people, believers? It's the norm. It's how we live, how we're supposed to live. Not just have a little thing with churchianity, we don't need that. Now, having said that little bit and thinking of that, so God makes normal. But normal is impossible, except God has made it normal, and normal is quite possible. It's what he expects. So when we're judged at the bema seat of Christ, believers, we're judged what? To what measure did you try to live a normal life? Well, we didn't. I went to church and did this, did that, but did you enjoy my life? To what measure did you let me live, outlive my life and yours? Normal. That's normal. You'd never know it. You'd never know it, and messages are there, and exegetical messages, and outlines. They're all wonderful. But they don't get us on, we aren't getting back to normal. We've had them for years, and we don't get back to normal. We've had a breakup in our whole global national condition with the virus and everything. To give us a little juggling and shifting and shaking, to maybe get out of a rut. Do you get out of the rut? To try to get it, to see it a little better, to think about it as we ought. Now, having said that, and thinking about that in a good way, over if you would please, in the light of that. And by the way, what's the other? All these different things. What do we know, God? What did you tell us to do? What is normal? You're normal, God. So, God, what did you tell us? Among other 1,000 things, in everything what? Give thanks. It doesn't say sometime. It says everything. It never gives you an excuse in 2 seconds of your life to avoid thanksgiving. Because you understand God is doing what all the time for you. It's a normal thing. It's the normal. It's the norm. God to be our God and Savior, etc. And so we go and exercise that. We're to exercise it. In everything, give thanks. I don't think about it. Sometime I do, I thank God. You thank God all the time, all the time, all the time. When I try to go to bed at night, kneeling down by my bed, which I've done since a little boy, and in the process of that, what do I say? I don't say 35 minutes of, no, about this or that. No, all I can say is, God, thank you. Thank you very much for all that you're doing and not doing. Thank you. Thank you. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, so here's faith, and faith has to be exercised in a most wonderful way. Over, if you can, just to, I'm just trying to be a pest to you and get you to see. If you come to know the Lord as your Savior, please don't look at other people and don't read books and stuff that aren't going to help you. Look at a book. I'm trying to get you to what happened to you when you got saved. You became a new creature in Christ. God forgave all of your sin, or else you can't be saved. So when we say we sin, we confess our sin, and boop, we keep moving. And the faster you get recovered, the faster you move, the more God is pleased. Because you're practicing. You're practicing what God said. You're forgiven. So stop getting hung up with your feelings, your fears, your faults. Stop doing that. Now, over to, if you would, in 2 Corinthians. We did it this morning. I want to look at it, though, in particular. And in 2 Corinthians, if I can, in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 1. 2 Corinthians in chapter 1. And you will notice, please, we mentioned it. I want you to see it, though. Here's verse 20. 1 and 20. 4. How many promises? All the promises. So, okay. For all the promises of God, whose promises are they? They're God's. All the promises of God in Christ, that's where they're found, God in Christ. And amen, so be it. Absolutely. God, when you say something, it is yes and amen. And now, God, and is the world going to claim them? Is the world going to read the Bible? Is anyone going to say anything? No. No, they don't care. No, come on. We're in biblical ignorance up to our eyeballs. Wow. So now, here we are in verse 20. Yes and amen. Unto the glory of God. Do you see the little preposition by, by? By, what does that mean? That means an agent, to by means of. The agent of the action. How is God going to demonstrate the promises of God? By you. By you. The world doesn't care about them. The believing heart is to enjoy a wonderful normalness. And that normalness is to be enjoyed. And God, where are all the promises? In Christ, in you. How many promises are in you? All of them. Where are the promises of God in you located? Where are the promises of God located? In Christ. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you done got all the promises of God. And where are they being displayed? In little vessels that are supposed to be living the normal, the wonderful life that God has given, so that God is able to exercise his wonderful life and all of his provision, his grace, his mercy, and exercise it in an awesome way. That's what it's about. Wow. So God, here we are looking, and God, all the promises of God are yes and amen. Over, if you would please, another way to do it. Over, if you would, to 2 Corinthians. You're in 1 Corinthians, excuse me. You're in 2 Corinthians. Go to 2 Corinthians and chapter 11. 2 Corinthians and chapter 11. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, remember we're given a list of the world system run by the devil himself. And I'll pick it up in verse 13. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. Verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Now, what's different? Now, so what are we supposed? What's no marvel? The word marvel is wonder, astonishment. There is no astonishment to us believers. The devil could become and use it and deceive us with all of his trickery and strategy and become an angel of light. That's not a surprise to us. We know the devil can do all kinds of things. But to many, that's what Paul says, the believers are supposed to have a norm. And they understand things about God, about the devil. They understand. Now, move from that. We're supposed to understand that. So the devil can do all kinds of nasty things, from disappointment, discouragement, depression. Line them up. Line them up. Wow. Now, therefore, sliding over, if you would to Revelation chapter 17. And in Revelation chapter 17, remember we're talking about the world religious system coming up. And in the process of that, here's the Apostle John, the penman, writing for God. God is the penman. So here's Revelation chapter 17. Here's the great ecumenical movement taking place and all of that. Now, here we are on planet Earth, and here's the church. And the churches, here we are now. And we try to be ecumenical and caring and everything. And that's going to slide right into the tribulation. Now, John isn't it. John's back there, 95, 96 A.D. That hasn't, way back here, where we are up here. So here we are looking, and here's John is looking. And John, here's the church. Starting out, it hasn't got very far, 100 A.D., it hasn't got very far down the corridor of time, and John is writing, and God gives him all the information and everything. Chapter 17, picking up verse 5. And upon her forehead, this is the mystery Babylon, the great harlot, mother of harlots, and an abomination, and abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered, there's your word marvel, astonished. I wondered, and then it goes a verb and a noun, I wondered with admiration. I wondered about the wonder. What is so shocking, John? What is shocking? Here's the church trying to make it forward. And here's the future. The church is the killer of the Christians. And he's shocked. He's surprised. Now, you got that? Now go to the next thing. God, and what's the angel going to do to help him? Verse 7. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? Why are you wondering, John? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast that carried her, which hath seven heads and ten horns. John just couldn't believe that the church is going to be like that. And that's the ecumenical movement heading into the tribulation. It's going to do it. No. Well, for us, it's quite normal. You and I know, have no problem. Apostasy, we know where it's going. But back then to John, therefore, verse 8, the beast that thou sawest, explanation for John, the beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell in the earth shall wonder, there's your word, who's going to wonder? And the tribulation, the Antichrist is going to die, in a sense, and then rise again, and all the world's going to look. They're going to be amazed, surprised. Wow! He rose again. He was dead, and he lives. That's how he's going to enter all the future as the Antichrist, etc. So, and I'll read the end of verse 8 again. And shall wonder whose names are not written in the book of the life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not, and it yet is. The world's going to say, wow. We aren't saying wow. There's no marvel. The devil can do whatever. Boy, is the devil good. He is. You bet he is. He's the head general of the angels. Wow. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind about God's wonderful work and marvelous person, so in the process, over if you would please, Romans. And if you go with me, please, to Romans, and picking up in thought in the process. And remember now, without turning there, remember in Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, the Pharisees, Sadducees, and all of the leaders of the Jewish community were really, really stymied, chapter 4, verse 13, because here are Peter and James and John, fishermen, tax collectors. They never went to seminary. They never went to college. They're just nobodies. What did the Pharisees and Sadducees do? They were amazed, surprised. About what? How could these nobodies know the somebody, our Lord, that made them like this? And they outranked and outdid the Pharisees and Sadducees because they were believers that had received the Lord as their Savior, and they had something, life, that the rest of them didn't have. And they marveled at them. They marveled. Now, having said that with amazement, keeping that in mind, and over if you would, I started to say Romans, let me do that a little differently. Over if you would to 1 Thessalonians for a moment, since that is a wonderful example for us. And in 1 Thessalonians, remember we shared this morning, they were saved and they had a wonderful relationship to the Lord, to God, and the persecution, the heartache, the headache was there in great abundance. There's no question. And in the process of all of that, they were waiting for God and they were looking for God, trusting God, and the nation in northern Greece and areas beyond it, they heard of the faith of these dear believers, like Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, fishermen, tax collectors, nobodies, that had an awesome change. Their life went from abnormal, unsaved, to normal, being saved. And they enjoy being saved in spite of everything. And therefore, all the world took note of their being moved, motivated. And therefore, the persecution increased, the pressure increased, because the people they are saying and having something the average human being doesn't know about, doesn't have, doesn't understand. So now, here we are in Thessalonians, and over in chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians, I should say. 2 Thessalonians, and God, what did you do for them? What did the persecution do for them? In chapter 1, chapter 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, sliding to verse 3. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. This isn't very long after 1 Thessalonians. And as it became because that your faith, the body of truth that you're believing, groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. What was growing? They were believing God. They kept believing God. They kept taking all the wonderful promises of God and making them active and real in their life. And therefore, what did God do? He just kept the light, and all the darkness in the world couldn't put the light out. The light just shined. And that's what they did. And they did it. And God kept them doing it. And over if you would, while you're there. Look at verse 11. Wherefore, also, we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of his calling and fulfill all his good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith, the body of truth to be believed, the work of faith with power, verse 12, that purpose, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And what you're praying for, and in the process, verse 6, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And they were getting more and more persecution. But more and more persecution, more and more, not people don't understand me. People, you use this thing. Do they understand? No. How can they understand? If they're spiritually dead, if they're carnal, would you tell me how a moderate so-called Christian is going to understand even what we're doing? They don't even read the Bible like that. They just do it. So therefore, they are growing and growing and growing, and their faith gets stronger. Hang on to that. It gets stronger. Abiding the branch in the vine, it just gets stronger. Why? Because you're so confident. You know, remember the years ago they had the propellers spin. I used to really like the propeller planes when I went across the country. I thought that was neat. But then they don't have propeller planes anymore. And when I look out the window, there's no propeller. You know what? Sucks air in, shoots it out. Wow. Do you know what? I adjust to that. I have no problem. The plane takes off. Fine, God. So keep learning, and the pressures, all the different things in life. And what do? We learn from them. And as we learn, what are we doing? We're confident. There's no marvel that Satan does whatever. The world system's doing whatever. It's all going to go in a given direction in the light of God's plan and purpose. So therefore, we're going to trust God. We don't have to sit there. It's normal. Normal. We aren't shocked to pieces about it. The next pestilence that come along, what are we going to do with that one? So here we are looking in Thessalonians and chapter 3. And 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3. What did you say, God? What do you keep saying to us? Chapter 3 and in verse 3. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. What did we read over in 2 Thessalonians? What did God say before that? We mentioned it this morning. Over in chapter 5, 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. What are you going to say, God? We're going to say, and God's going to keep you, sanctify you, body, soul, and spirit. Verse 24, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. God's going to keep you body, soul, spirit. He has a wonderful plan for your life. It's his normal plan. It's his life being outworked in yours. That's normal. That's the normal life. Where do you find it? Where are people doing it? You see, we're at the end of the age. So therefore, you've got to be encouraged and roll up your sleeves and look to God and his word to help you. Because if you're looking for encouragement out there, it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Nope. It's going to keep disappearing. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, over, if you would, to 1 John. In 1 John, in chapter 5. Now, we didn't get very far, but I hope I could be a pest to you in a good way and get you to what? Understand, there's a normal. It's the norm. He that hath begun a good work in you is going to finish it. That's the norm. Norm. You can do all things through Christ. That, it's the norm. It's a normal life. Not abnormal. No, God saved you from the abnormal to his life, which is normal. The life you live is in Christ is his. And his life. That's how all the promises of God, that's how everything's going to be known. That God is a wonderful Savior. God's an awesome God. We ought to fear him and have faith in trusting all of his wonderful words and works. Now, here in 1 John 5, here in 1 John 5, you will notice, please, I may go to verse 11. And this is the record that God, the record, the witness, that God hath given to us eternal life. Where is this life? This life is in his Son. So therefore, understandably, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So either have his Son or you don't. I say have life. No, you either have the Son of God to get life or you don't. It isn't some little magic thing you take a pill and feel full of zip, whatever. No, it's a person. Christ the person. So what is life? Life is his. It's his life. His a relationship to God. Therefore, God, you want us to get lock on? I do. Verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So you're going to be a believing believer, underline, and you're going to know that you have eternal life. Why are you going to know that you have eternal life? Because you receive Christ as your Savior. And when you receive Christ as your Savior, you're going to know that. Now remember the word know. There's different words for know. This is the knowing. The person is knowing what is to be known. That's the word. Intuitive knowledge. It isn't like you learn going to school, first grade, second grade, third grade, multiplication table number one, multiplication table number two. It isn't that. It's part of your makeup. And all of you, and you have said it 100 times, all of you, all of us, are wonderfully, wonderfully knowing we're alive. Most? No? Intuitively. That isn't because 1 + 2 + 3. That isn't because you said my heart's beating, my liver's filter doing its thing 100 times or whatever. It isn't that. We just know it. That's the word. Know. Know. What do you know? You're saved. Do you feel it? Have you got an explanation? No. No. It's just true. Christ is our life. And God gives it. He that hath the Son hath life. So God, that's what I know. We're to know it. The knower is knowing what is to be known. Wow. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you would, slide down to verse 14. We ought know so, say so, show so. No. And now, God, what else is it? Well, I'm going to show it to you, to myself. Verse 13. And this is the confidence that we have in him, in Christ, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. That's the normal life. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. In John chapter 14 and that. Verse 15. And if we know, there's your little word again, in the perfect tense, you know and you are knowing. The result is you're knowing right now. It isn't a guess. I feel it. Nothing doing. It's a fact. You can't have the Son without having life. It's a reality. It's the norm. But if I got to do it by faith, we walk by faith, not by sight. We got to believe what God said. The life you now live in the flesh, you live by the Lord Jesus Christ, who's outworking his wonderful your relationship to him. Therefore, verse 15, if we know that he hears us, know, perfect tense, you're knowing that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. We don't even have them in our hand. We don't have the answer. We don't need the answer. If you're asking for, how many times? In God's will for your life. You want God's will for your life. God wants his will for your life. God created you in his mind and heart before anything angels were created. And Christ died and determined to die for you before angels were created. The Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. God had a wonderful plan. He says he did. That's why he died. So when you get saved, anyone can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they don't have to go with a sin and badness. No, you just need to receive God's wonderful grace that he died on the cross to save you. Now, therefore, we know God has a wonderful plan. And that's what we want. And that's what you're going to get. That's what you're going to get. Is that what you want? It is. Want God's will for my life? God said, body, soul, and spirit, I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to do it. It's your plan, your purpose. Wow. Therefore, God, that's what you're going to do. I know that. Know you're saved. That's normal. Know when you ask in the will of God. That's normal. It's a normal thing. It's like flying. I just don't even question it. You don't question it. You just do it. You just do it. You want God's will for your life? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And you keep going. Why? Because it's normal. It's a normal way of living, breathing. It's changed. You're a new creature in Christ. Therefore, sliding down verse 20. And we know, there's your little verb again, and it's in the perfect tense. It means, and we know, what are we knowing? That the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. Purpose, that we may know, there it is again, we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. So we don't have to, it's what it is. What it is. And Moses, a burning bush, Moses, and boy, Moses caught on quickly, and he proceeded. Did the people in the wilderness know? No, they didn't know. They saw everything, famine, the cloud by day, fire by night, manna, everything they had, but they never caught on. They never caught on. Nope, didn't catch on. Here we are in the end of the church age. And what are we looking at? Well, we're supposed to be knowing. Knowing what is known, we ought to be knowing it. And in the process, God will do a wonderful work in our head and in our heart. That's what God's going to do. And we're to be persuaded by faith, persuaded, fully relying, fully confident. In whom? In God. In God. In Christ. Who is Christ? He died on the cross. No question. He rose again. No question. He said, here's the 39 books, the Old Testament, And he confirmed them. He confirmed about Moses and Samson and David. Now, I don't have to go anywhere else. Now, you can do whatever. Everyone's different. I'm telling you from my little life, God, I've met all kinds of people, very smart people sometimes, all kinds, in engineering and all of it. I want to tell you, I've never read anything, talked to anyone, heard about anyone that outranks our Lord Jesus Christ. He rose again from the grave like no other. So when he says, believe what I said, and when he starts, I turn, God said, I'm the resurrected life, and I'm your life. I've gone to prepare, John 14, I've gone to prepare a place for you. You spent 3 1/3 years and made it clear in John, Gospel of John, 21 chapters of John. You did all of that. I have no debate. I have none. And then it's been proven for a long, long time. So there is no debate. There is no dialogue. It's a sure thing. It's a sure thing. Not because of the system or the government or education or philosophies or religions or people's opinion. It's because of who he is. It's a sure thing. Of what he has done, died and rose again. And when I look at the flowers and the birds and the bugs and everything, Psalm 19, and it tells me of a creator. And then Psalm 19, verse 6 and on. And God has given us his word to help us understand all of the creation so that we can understand God. He said, I did all this. I want you to honor my word. I'm the creator. Honor my word. And when we do, we're going to what? We're going to find things are going to be different. And they're changed. So we aren't caught up in the pressures and the squeezings that come upon us, trying to get us to conform to the system. The system, God condemned the system. God saved us out of the system. And we are to be his witnesses that God saved us out of it. And our life that we now live is not ours, but his. And if you don't like it with the world, I can't help it. Look to God and tell him. Tell him. That's what God said. Trust him. Wow, I got to quit. Hope you got a little bit. Our Father and God, we thank you. Thank you for making normal that which is impossible. Making ordinary for an extraordinary expression. In a most ordinary way, eating and drinking, coming and going. Just resting in a unique relationship that makes it all work. So God, you got to help us. We can't speak for anybody else. It's just for us. So God, deal with us. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.